there. This is Erin Nicole, and you're listening to the Move Happy Movement podcast. On this show, I interview people from all walks of life. Sometimes I do sermons from the divine. He whispers the topic to me and tells me when to hit record and when to share it with you. And also sometimes he inspires music through me and tells me when to share that as well. The purpose of the show is to help empower you to find happiness from within. This is another tool in your toolbox for mental health resiliency skills, if you will. I bring you research, scriptures, whatever he sends in my direction. If you've got depression, or you know someone that does, or depressed state, or they're going through a difficult season, this show is for you and your friends. So if it adds value to you by the end, feel free to share it with someone else and keep spreading love around the whole earth. So if you hear little bird sounds or occasional conversations passing through, I'm walking in nature and whatnot, and it's a gorgeous chilly morning. As I was driving up to the location, I was kind of thinking about purposes and what drives us and whatnot. And my father whispered to me, aligned purpose. That's the topic. So I wanted to kind of plant that seed. I forget where, but in the scriptures it says that if you don't have hope for your future, you really don't have purpose. And if you're thinking about, well, what could be my purpose in life, if you're not sure, hopefully the stories that come through in this episode, hopefully you'll get a little more clarity on how to discover it for yourself. Not all of us are all-knowing and driven, you know, when we're kids, to know exactly what career path we want to take or the kinds of families we desire, or, you know, all kinds of things. Some people know right away when they're kids, you know, I'm going to be a doctor one day, and then they become a doctor, and that's great for them. But for those of us that have a different kind of roller coaster journey in life of discovery, it's pretty normal. So having an aligned purpose, what do you think that means? Well, aligned means kind of like in congruence with. When we're out of alignment, like if our car is out of alignment, right, it shakes, it wobbles, it does things that are not normal for the performance of the car. And then we know that. And then based on the shaking and the wobbles and whatnot, then we might, you know, ask the opinion of a friend or family member, or we'll take it in to get it professionally checked out and get the alignment fixed, right? Get it realigned. What can bring a car out of alignment? Well, hitting a pothole, turning too quickly around a corner, going too fast, all kinds of things. Having your tires changed, and if they don't align, I don't know car parts, but whatever the rod or whatever it's called that keeps them together, whatnot, if they don't do the proper steps and procedures, then that can bring it out of alignment and whatnot. And all kinds of things, you know, if you get a pop tire and you have to get a replacement, maybe the replacement is the same size but a different brand, and so the rubber is a different thickness. So maybe it's a little bit off, just even by, you know, nanometer. But over time, it unloosens screws and bolts and things. What can get us out of alignment with our purpose? Well, distractions. People can be potholes in our lives. If we date or marry a person that is abusive or they're narcissistic, that's a popular term in the last couple of years that's came out, and they're very self-focused and getting you to feel bad about yourself if you're not taking care of their needs 100% of the time, that person can definitely be a pothole in your life, because you're supposed to be doing other things and are capable of other greatnesses, but instead you're having to tend to either their needs or your emotional needs after, you know, dealing with their BS. What else can be potholes or roadblocks to keep you from your aligned purpose? Think about what kinds of things or people can block you or slow you down. We were training the other day, and it's interesting because the kinds of activities that we were doing were very intense and these were of course for our clients at my Clark Kent job. So we were getting their heart rates up and they're working real hard, and then they're needing to think and recall information that they're going to be tested on very soon. They're in a competition. And the particular exercises that were straining their muscles, that were getting their heart rates up, that were, you know, working them very, very hard. Although over time, that is important to, you know, be able to build their resiliency muscles, build their physical muscles, right? But in that moment, they were tired. They were exhausted. So I'd say the exercises in general were speed bumps, right? And they had to maneuver their minds around the challenges, the difficulty. And they did it with excellence. And they wanted more at the end. I was like, okay, so notes for self. Our team planned what we thought would be 3 hours of intense exercises and some cognitive exercises from our department. And they got it done in an hour, I think in 45 minutes or so. So they had overestimated how long it would take these military persons to complete the tasks, which was great because that surprise told us that they're ready for more. And that brings a good point for aligned purpose. You might get speed bumps or roadblocks that come at you. And maybe in the beginning, those kinds of things are big bumps, right? Where you have to slow way down and modify your plans and whatnot. But maybe over time, you learn to maneuver more quickly and plan ahead and have you know, counterattacks and whatnot, and then the speed bump becomes, you know, a lot smaller to where you could just roll right over it, no problem. I always knew that my purpose was going to be to serve people, but I didn't get clarity on it, like real clear clarity, until 2018. So I'm going to tell you about that. If you've heard my story before, you can speed up the recording, get to the other juicy parts. But if you're brand new listening on the show, welcome. And it's actually in perfect alignment with Move Happy, which is the brand for this show, the Move Happy Movement Podcast. So 2018, I had had enough of people failing me, plans failing me, and working really hard, and was having a difficult time bouncing back from an incredible job I had had the year before. I was carried through the loss of my father and was working in my favorite job ever. I was working in a psychiatric hospital setting, and I had created the original Move Happy program there. It's a 16-week positive psychology cross-curricular therapy program that involved journaling, group discussion, and workouts with minimal equipment. And I went on to create four other therapies there, three group and two one-on-one. And it was awesome. We had a great supportive team and whatnot. The team was a variety of professionals. We had occupational therapists and techs. We had a few psychologists. We had a couple of rec therapists. Who else did we have? Music therapist. It was a very holistic team to provide active treatment in a locked psychiatric hospital setting for adult patients that were there for a minimum of 6 months. Some of them lived there for 30 years. It was home for them. So they would come down to our treatment mall twice a day for a total of 4 hours. And they would get group therapy experiences with us. And then they would go back on their wards and have other activities and whatnot. For the most part, majority of the patients came down to see us, but they had to earn the right to come down. They had to be taking their meds. They couldn't be volatile. They couldn't have self-harm thoughts or actions, verbalizing, whatnot. In the last, 48 hours, there was procedural steps that were required. And it was my first time ever working in that experience. So that was 2016 to 2017. I was only there for 12 months. But when you experience something great where you know it's what you were called to do, you don't have to do it for a long time. You can be very swiftly effective in a short amount of time. And that's what happened. My boss, who's one of the best bosses I've ever had, Sue, and I say that because she allowed me to be creative. She trusted me, which meant a lot because I had some bad experiences before her from female leadership. And she allowed me to create the program. I overcame her objections, and then it was a huge success around the campus. So then a colleague of mine asked me to help her create another group therapy program teaching music, teaching vocal skills, because she heard me sing. And I have no music degrees. So we did performing arts therapy. And that lady worked on a ward. She didn't even work in our treatment wall. That wasn't supposed to be allowed. But my boss trusted me, and how successful the first group therapy was. We had maxed capacity. We had to expand. They had to ask our permission to expand the size of the room with two more patients, because we have to write notes on them, chart notes and everything on a once a month basis on all the patients. And there's unions that represented us, and they wanted to make sure that it wasn't too much work. And my colleague had been there for a few years, and she's a licensed therapist, and she said, oh, it's very good. It's very good if the patients want to be in our group. It's kind of a fun competition between us staff to have the largest group. And so I said, of course. So we had the largest group. We had to move the second round. We ran it to the largest room on the treatment room floor. And we ran out of spaces. Patients were waiting in line for our group, asking us in the morning time. This was the last class of the day in the afternoon. What's the workout going to be today? They loved the variety. They loved how we were taking care of the patients. And they started spreading word about it. So we had a wait list. We had to turn some patients away. So we gave them journals because they were teaching their roommates on their wards about what was happening in the class. They were feeling more joyful. And that was my plan. That was my purpose for the group, was to help them find their own happiness from within and to provide a positive experience around exercise and movement so that they would desire to move their bodies when they left the hospital. And I also desired to help provide a program to the hospital that wouldn't cost them any extra money, because they didn't have a budget for it. And it was successful in all the areas. So my boss Sue said, sure, you can teach this other group. And then I ended up upgrading their transitions group to prepare the patients that were going to be released back into society, to prepare their minds for being out of the hospital walls. So those were the three groups I created, and then did customized one-on-one therapy for patients that needed some extra time. I got really quick at my job, and I had extra time at the end of the day. So I worked with two patients under the direction of Dr. Brian Hill, psychotherapist, former first responder, retired state trooper, I believe. He also trusted me. He said, I'd love to help you earn a promotion, add some extra skills to your resume so that you can earn this promotion. And I interviewed. My boss told me I would never be interviewed without a state license in therapy. So then I was interviewed. She said, Erin, no one, I've been here for 30 years. No one has ever done what you've done. You continue to surprise me. So now I don't want to say anything that you can't do. Is there anything that you can't do? I said, I'm not a great cook, but I enjoy working here, and you allow me to be myself, so I'm giving my best. I've got a lot of experiences that I've been waiting to use in a place that respects me. I earned that promotion. I trained for it. Carrie Brown, wonderful human being, she trained me. She had been in that position for a while. She was ready to challenge herself, to up-level her game and work with highly volatile patients. They had received funding and were in the process of hiring. They hired 60 people for this highly volatile hall. And in the normal wards where the patients slept, there's anywhere from like 28 to 30 patients that the psych person would be responsible for charting notes on, meeting with patients one-on-one and whatnot. So she was responsible for that ward that was 28, I think, patients. And then she was going to be earning this promotion, which she did, to the highly volatile ward, which was an average of 9 patients. We've got a vehicle coming down the road here. It's kind of odd. I'll pardon the sound. And, so she was training me during the work day, so we didn't have to have people cover for us for me to be able to train for this new position. We split our days, and this was during the third round that we ran the Move Happy group after the first couple of weeks of introducing it and whatnot. And I had my colleague, another Sue, cover for me. And I had, in the second round, I had a couple patients that were repeating. And so I let them, I asked a couple of them, hey, I need some help with this, this, and this. I was learning how to delegate some tasks to help the patients, you know, grow in their responsibilities and to make it a little bit easier for me. And so by the third round, a couple of those patients had been in all 3 rounds, and so then they became leaders. So they were stepping up and passing out the journals and the pencils, and one of the patients would say, hey, we're on this page number, this is the journal prompt of the day. And so she thanked me, my colleague thanked me in the hall one day after I was returning from my training to my office. She said, Aaron, I gotta tell you, I love your Move Happy group. I said, you do? She said, yeah, I know I need to exercise during the day, but by the end of the workday, I am so exhausted and I have a long commute to get into work that I just veg out. I eat my dinner and I chill out before going to bed. So you allow me to exercise during the workday, so I know that I'm improving my health and the patients. They all know what to do. Like, so-and-so passes out the journals, so-and-so passes out the pencils, and so-and-so makes sure that none of them are talking over each other and whatnot. And I love it. And I was like, awesome. So this program is duplicatable. That was one of my goals. I wanted to make something that the hospital could keep if I ever left. And so I'm training for this new position, and we finished the training, and then I was covering for Carrie. She went on vacation, and then she was going to cover for my vacation the following week, and she did. And I came back and I had a meeting with the head of all the psychologists for our hall. And a real cool lady from Montana. And she says, Aaron, I got some good news and I got some bad news. I was like, okay. She's like, the good news is you've still got a job. Fortunately, about 60 people lost their jobs today. I was like, oh my gosh, what happened? And she said, well, there was some voting that happened at our Capitol in Olympia, Washington, that doesn't have anything to do with our job specifically, but they had some sort of budget meeting and they voted against mental health services. So that shut down the building that we have been hiring for the last few months. I was like, that sucks. She's like, yeah, but because you are already in the system, we're going to put you back in your position. And so you'll be back working with the patients down here. It wasn't really a choice. So I lost a promotion that I had already worked. Carrie lost her promotion that she already was in the process of getting prepared for. And all of that wasted time. All of that wasted time. So flash forward a year later, and I'm in a job that I absolutely hate with a boss that's nothing like Sue Bender, one of my favorite bosses of all time from the psych hospital. This man was a shark. Justin. I don't remember his last name, but I wouldn't call him out like that. But it was a sales job, and he was a sales manager. He was very much a shark person, and he would try to get us to compete against one another instead of working together as a team. And it was just not a good environment, and I'm trying to just keep my head above water. I had been engaged the year I worked at the psych hospital, and there was some domestic violence I experienced, and I had to get homed in a new address, and it was just tough. And my body and my level of stress, I had maxed out. And so 2018, maybe into March, mid-March, somewhere around there, for a couple of months, I had a birth control implant in my bicep. And I think around December, I got it put in. So it was about 90 days, and it was the medicine, whatever that it was doing, it had completely removed all rational thought in my mind. And it was not good. Not good at all. I was seeing somebody for the first time since the engagement had fallen through. And he was a sweet person, very mature, treated me respectfully. But he was too far away from his kids, and he decided to move back closer to his children. And so he had broken up with me nicely, and I had the opportunity from a family member. They said, "Hey, I need some help down south. Can you move down here to help me out?" And he had encouraged me, "I think you should move. I think this will be good for you." And so I took that as rejection, and my mind was like, ain't no way. It just wasn't good. So I called the 1-800 number, which is now, I think, 988 for the suicide hotline. And I'm talking to an angel on the line and telling him, you know, I don't think that this is good, and I'm trying my best to just shove the thoughts out of my mind. But I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. And I'd never called this number before. So he and I started chatting, having a conversation, and start talking to him about the year before and all the story that I shared with you, kind of in a nutshell. And shared about a particular patient that was in my program, the first and the third round. I said, you know, he was retired from the Marine Corps, and he was a high-level executive in the securities industry. He was responsible from anywhere from like 150 to 200 staff, give or take, you know, time of year. And he told me he liked my program, and he said he saw me speaking on stages one day and that I needed to continue sharing it. And I was like, I don't know how, because I'm in a miserable job. I'm barely making enough. I'm scrapping by, and I'm just not doing good. But I know that I listened to his voice, and his voice and the things that he said, I was reminded of. And the angel on the line was like, I think you need to pursue this. And he's like, I think you should remove that birth control implant. It's not helping you. I was like, yeah, I agree. He's like, can you get that removed? I said, they have to remove it. It's like a surgery. I was like, I can't do it myself. They said, okay, make an appointment ASAP. I was like, all right. He said, I think you should pursue this. I think you should listen to what that Marine was telling you. I said, I agree. And I did. right after that, I got down on my knees after that phone call, and I thanked the Father for that. Such a good call with a stranger. And so encouraging. And I said, all right, I'm done with having these thoughts, Father. I'm done with having the enemy attack me in my mind. I need you to come in and heal my mind. I need you to come in and show me my purpose. Boom. It was like the heavens opened up and I received a vision from the Father. He showed, it was like right in my bedroom. I'm right in a room, like kind of like an Airbnb, you know, with roommates that I don't know who they are. And I'm in this rented room, and I look up and I see the three pillars of Move Happy. He said, you're changing your business name to Move Happy. Moving forward, that's your new business name. All right, Father. He said, mindset, community, fitness, those are the three pillars of Move Happy. I said, all right, Father. Then he showed me an annual event every year, starting in America and moving to different countries every year. It would be an in-person experience where there's public speakers, there's musicians of all kinds of genres of music, there's all kinds of encouraging speeches and whatnot. Didn't have a name for that event, but I knew that it was going to happen. And it was just such a powerful experience that brought so much clarity. And it was kind of like the experience kind of wrapped up. So I'm like, okay. After that, I had, when I was engaged, we signed up for a fitness membership at this particular gym. And I had found a flyer. This was maybe like the year before. I found a flyer there where there was a nonprofit that was doing alternative research for mental health diagnoses, like alternative health options and whatnot. And I was like, for some reason, I needed to reach out to them. I just knew. So, and they owned the gym. They owned many gyms across the U.S. I had found out from one of the openers at the gym, when I had gone in to work out, she had told me a little bit about their family. And so I had kept the little flyer that they had on their, one of their tables that you, you know, sign up for your gym membership. And I said, I'm just going to look for that flyer. And I go and I open my binder of all things Move Happy. And it flew out of the binder onto the floor. I was like, wow, that's cool. So I look up their information and shoot them an email. And the very next day, I get a phone call from their family member that was on their board of directors for their organization. And they were very impressed with my story and they wanted to meet with me. He said, we're going to be doing a grand opening of one of our gyms in the Seattle area. I think it was beginning of April or mid-April, somewhere around there. This wouldn't be a place to talk shop, but not, like to shake hands and to meet each other and whatnot. I said, I will be there. You let me know where and when. And they were talking about how they're a family-owned business, and husband and wife are cousins to the man I was speaking to on the phone. They're kind of the face of the company. And I said, well, I'll make sure that my mother comes along because I'm very close with my family and whatnot. And this story started from the loss of my father and how I created this program during that year when my father had passed away. And so I think it would be great for her to meet you guys as well. And so ended up meeting them, shaking hands, and Victor Brick was the cousin. Victor and Lynn were the people that I met, that met my mother. He shook hands with me. He listened to my story. And he said, we will be helping you moving forward. We're gonna help you get Move Happy off the ground. I didn't know what that meant. He didn't specify. But in the last few years, they offered to fund research for Move Happy to do a paper to see the effectiveness of the program that I designed. I was like, wow, are you serious? Sure enough, that vision came true that the Father had revealed to me my purpose about the event. I had been speaking about it, learning social media. I had been sharing about it since 2018. Told them I was moving across the country to help my family member and all of that. And in 2020, when we had the shutdown, they reached out to me and said, we have been organizing an online experience for people with depression. When I met him in person in April of 2018, he said, we want the focus to be on schizophrenia exclusively and to offer other mental illness supportive services as well through our research. But he was biased because he had lost his brother to complications of that disease, that condition. And I said, no, the focus needs, I was so confident with the revelation from the Father, the prophecy that he had revealed to me. I said, depression needs to be the top. Everything falls under the umbrella of depression. So by 2020, when we had the shutdown, they had seen how much I had worked at this brand, this purpose, and how I had been growing as an entrepreneur and whatnot. And they said, we've partnered with Deepak Chopra, Arianna Huffington, Johnson & Johnson, Kennedy Foundation, and like 60 other organizations, wondering if you'd like to be a part, and who else do you think could be aligned with us to help us grow this online experience. It's a free experience for people all over the world, and would love for you to be a part. I was like, yes. They were looking for musicians. They were looking for speakers. Pretty much everything that I had told you in my vision that the Father revealed to me, they had made it a reality for an online experience. So not quite 100% the same, because there were no in-person gatherings in 2020 during the pandemic. Our purposes had connected us. The aligned purpose from the Father above. Later on in 2020, I had connected with, well, this person had been off and on reaching out to me from the team that looks out for me, believes that she was a part of the Illuminati. I don't know. She never identified as such. She did have a PhD in divinity, though. I think she was a witch. Although she tried to pretend like she was a Christian. She had written or helped write songs with Grammy Award-winning artists. Was a former NFL cheerleader. Very connected in high society. She wanted to, along with her husband, mentor me when she was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I told her about Victor and Lynn and how they were a part of one of my therapy experiences in 2020. The first time I executed a rich, happy therapy experience for high society to connect for their social health, but also for business connections and whatnot. And the second time I offered it, I started charging people, and she and her husband were a part of it. And she wanted to know more about him and his background and who they knew and all of that. And I said, well, he's got a cousin on the board of the Mayo Clinic. And she was like, oh, this is a great connection. Unfortunately, some of those people in my past decided, since I'm still on my journey, they didn't see zeros after, you know, big statement checks and whatnot. They didn't see a ton of zeros, that they thought that my worth was less than thou. And that's okay. Not everybody comes into your life is going to stay in your life forever. come to my attention that these people worked together. This woman, this witch from the Illuminati, Lorianne Sayer, very much evil person. She paid one of the connections that I had given her to the president of the Blackwater Alumni Group that protects presidents of the United States of America, top level security. She had paid him to have me killed. And Victor and his wife worked with her instead of working with me. And I told him, I messaged him. I said, I strongly recommend you remove yourself from being associated with her. She is the one that paid to have me killed. And we've been monitoring the activities of those connected. Ironically, a few weeks later, I'm looking into my Move Happy email account. Because at that moment when she paid the deed, I got professionally hacked into from Jason Johnson's Blackwater team. Locked me out of my technology devices for a few months. And anytime they so choose, they lock me out of my email accounts, my social media, blocking me from conducting business, forcing me into homelessness, all kinds of things. Because I refuse to bow down to Baphomet or Baal. Sacrifice children. I refuse to be involved in that nastiness. I love Jesus Christ. And I do as the Father commands me to do. I saw in my email account from Victor's executive assistant of their nonprofit organization, they reached out for their second annual event for people with depression. They were charging for ticket prices and they wanted me to invite people to their event and I would get 40% of whatever ticket sales I sold. Very great offer. Too coincidentally connected to me letting him know he needs to disconnect from Lorianne Sayer. She no longer walks the earth. She committed treason and I believe the White Hats took care of her. Having an aligned purpose means that you might have to trim the fat in your relationships. Recognizing that, it will happen. It should happen. Yeah, being okay with being by yourself for a little while. Now, I will say that Jason did a good deed and he connected me to a man that had trained him, a much wiser man in the securities industry. And in 2020, I received security protections. He told me that all of the teams work together to keep America safe, even if they protect different presidents. They all work together. He lied, of course, but this other gentleman he connected me to, I spent 2 months with. He treated me with respect. He taught me a thing or two about how to read people and all kinds of things that I don't need to share all my business. He taught me how to keep my mouth shut about certain things and not to reveal everything to everybody. Because I was being very open and transparent on Move Happy content. I was being myself. Because I was following Gary Vaynerchuk's methods to grow my brand. I had grown so swiftly in a short amount of time that I had attracted all of the darkness of the Illuminati cult that pretend to be love and light publicly. But behind the scenes, they do terrible things to little girls and little boys. The Epstein scandal, if you remember, in 2020 started being revealed in the public eye. And when he provided me protections, I talked with him about this cult. I didn't know who they were, what they were about, but I said they tried to recruit me a few times since 2018. He said they tried to recruit me as well. And he asked, what did they say to me and all of that? And I told him that they wouldn't tell me anything. They said you had to join their club to find out, but I could get access to riches and things. And I said, it sounds like a cult. I know about who you're associated with, and I'm not trying to get in trouble over joining something that I don't know all the information. I never volunteer without knowing all the details. And I was in the DARE program in sixth grade, my first year in public school, and my DARE officer told us, because I grew up in the hood, and he said, if you're associated in a crime, you didn't do the crime, but you're just hanging out with the people when they did the crime, or around the same time, you could be tried for the same crime. And I call it the RICO Act, being associated, right? So I knew that I had to be careful with clubs and organizations that I was a part of. And he said, you're a smart lady. He's like, you know who these people are, right? In this cult. And I was like, not really. I don't know much about them, because they wouldn't tell me unless I joined. So I just kind of saw them as like little gnats flying around trying to bother me. And he said, did you see any symbols when they send you? Do you remember what the accounts were? I said, no, I don't remember what the accounts were, but there was a triangle with like a little eye in the middle most of the time on their profile photos. And then he showed me some photos. Like this? I was like, yep. Like that. Masonic symbols. If you see any Masonic symbols, if they're lower level, they're probably not realizing that they're a part of a satanic group. But once you get to the higher levels, you gotta sacrifice animals or children. You gotta do the dirty with a goat. All kinds of weird stuff. Stay away from those kinds of organizations. He taught me to not trust any labeled org. He's like, even St. Jude, they got bad people at the top that are making way too much money, and they're not helping the people that they're saying they're there for. Their executives are taking way too much, and sure, they got to really help, you know, the children to show face, but they could be helping a lot more if they weren't so, what's the word? Money grubbing, stingy. I don't fill in the blank. I've kept my purpose as best I can with people throwing all kinds of roadblocks in my direction. Getting forced into homelessness, getting my accounts hacked into anytime they so please. Trying to get me arrested with all the January 6th nonsense after I provided another therapy experience. Executed it successfully. We had 225,000 on the invite list. 225,000 for free. Can you imagine that? That's how you know when the Father is growing something. And that's also when I found out that Victor Brick was no longer for me, but chose to work against me. I told him he could be a part of the experience. He chose to not involve his 100 plus gyms across the United States and in Australia. Because that was after he and Lorianne did their connections. Why did she reach out to him? Well, she told me in 2020 that I had been added to nominations for mental health ambassadors. Every major nation is adding mental health ambassadors. And I was in the nominations for the United States. And I seen when she told me that over the phone, I was living in Woodstock, Georgia, renting a room temporarily as I was stuck there during the pandemic. I walked down the hallway to my bedroom and I seen the crown and I seen myself walking across the stage, winning that crown. I knew I was the winner for the whole thing. Not for America, for the whole world. Not because I'm braggadocious, not because I think I'm all that, because I know that this is my purpose in life, mental health, helping people struggling with their thought processes, struggling with finding joy in the mess. Those 12 months that I worked in the psych hospital and I created 5 alternative therapies from 2016 to 2017 brought me the clarity of my purpose. And when the Father revealed to me in 2018 that I am the person in the world to help people with depression, I have not swayed from that activity, from that purpose in my life. And in fact, it has fueled me to add more therapies. It has fueled me to add music. It has fueled me to drive forward, to move forward, progressing every single day. It has attracted all kinds of leaders to work with me, or those that are evil black hats to try and block me. But no one can block your blessing if the Father has assigned it to you. I serve a good, good Father, and He welcomes anybody to turn from their wicked ways and to connect with Him, the source of all things good. All you got to do is apologize for the wrongs that you've made. Make a complete 180 degree shift. It's called repenting from your sins, and never go back to that lifestyle again. In 2018, He had broken the chains completely of self-harm thoughts I had struggled with off and on for 18 years. And I haven't gone back since. When I'm talking, you have instant healing from the Father. If He so chooses to give you instant healing, you have not, because you ask not. I believe that's James 1. He can heal you instantly from your pain. Ask with sincerity and get aligned with what you're supposed to be doing. If you have not yet connected with Him directly as your Lord and Savior, leader of your life, and you'd like to, it is free. You cannot earn it. You can't purchase it. It is a gift to you from Him. Just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this gift of salvation. I know I'm a sinner in need of Your forgiveness. Please come into my heart and never leave my side. I pray this in Your heavenly name. Amen. Congratulations. You are in the family. Father revealed to me James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 9 and verse 7. Joel 4, 13 through 17. Ezekiel 24, 17 through 19. Anything else, Father? Don't forget to tell someone you love them today. And we'll see you next time.